There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The information depicted in this podcast is purely for informational purposes only. Please consult your healthcare professional before making any changes to your lifestyle or routine.
For all those men listening in, I have a special announcement that will give your balls goosebumps. So I don't know about you, but I get pretty sick and tired of changing my razors and trimmers to groom my body hair and my balls. So I wanted to introduce you to the new and improved Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer. Now, I know many guys listening in to this podcast have probably seen me topless on social media, and they'll know that I'm quite a hairy dude, whether that be due to my genetics, being half Italian, half Lebanese, or because I maxed out my testosterone to 988 nanograms per deciliter. I don't really know, but the fact is that I have a lot of body hair, and it's always been a struggle for me. So the Manscaped 3.0 features a cutting-edge ceramic blade, which actually reduces the grooming accidents and has a pretty long battery life as well, lasting up to 90 minutes. It also features like a unique LED light as well, so that you don't ever like miss a patch of hair. So I'm a huge fan of the Manscaped 3.0. So I have a special discount code that you guys can use. If you go to manscaped.com, you can get 20% off plus free shipping by using my code Lucas10. That's LUCAS10. Go to manscaped.com and you'll get 20% off plus free shipping by using my discount code Lucas10.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Boost Your Biology podcast. My name is Lucas and I'm the founder of Ergogenic Health. Together in this podcast series, we will go underground to explore cutting edge health and human performance insights that you simply cannot search on Google to help you upgrade your existence. So without any further ado, let's jump into today's episode.
Hey everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of the Boost Your Biology podcast. I'm your host, Lucas, and today we are going to be exploring something very specific and also something very near and dear to my heart, and that is PSSD, otherwise known as post-SSRI sexual dysfunction, which is essentially a condition that a lot of people are currently struggling with or will struggle with in the future if they've either used antidepressants or they're currently using them, or they've used compounds that are similar to antidepressants, such as specific herbs, specific nootropics and other compounds. So before I begin, I really want to
emphasize that I'm not a medical doctor. I am simply just sharing my research as a naturopathic physician into PSSD and what I've found and what I've seen in the literature, in various forums, online, and also from my own personal struggles, because this condition has significantly affected my quality of life. And every day that I see another guy or another person being affected by PSSD, it makes me really frustrated and really fired up to want to figure this out. And by all means, we are nowhere near we've not reached a point yet in the scientific community where we can say for sure that we have a final cure to PSSD, because in every condition there is unique differences, and obviously the specific molecular targets will vary from individual to individual. So before we like really get stuck into this episode, I really want to break down like what is PSSD. So PSSD is simply a condition that people experience, or a cluster of symptoms that people experience following the usage of an antidepressant or even similar compounds. So they don't have to be antidepressants per se, but there can be specific compounds such as L-theanine, such as rhodiola, such as ashwagandha, such as ginger, which I'll touch on later on, which also induce a lot of the similar symptoms to what people who take SSRIs experience. And I want to break down the symptoms of PSSD. So it varies from individual, but the most prominent symptom is characterized by some degree of sexual dysfunction. So whether that be difficulty reaching orgasm, blunted pleasure, blunted rewards from sexual stimuli, delayed ejaculation, reduced lubrication for women, even erectile dysfunction for some men, and even, you know, for some guys, unfortunately, premature ejaculation as well. So there's a cluster of symptoms, and again, it's going to differ per individual. So what I might do is actually describe some of the other troubling symptoms that also seem to be correlated with PSSD. And these will be very unusual and quite a surprise to some guys, but even the actual, your body odor changes, the smell of your genitals actually changes, even the color of some guys' genitals, that changes. They get a diminished blood flow look, where even like in some cases there's penile shrinkage and even atrophy of the testicles, which is obviously extremely troubling and frustrating for a lot of guys. So it's obviously something that I think a lot of guys are really desperate to get to the bottom of. And whilst there are many sort of probes and protocols and sort of experiments that they can undertake, a lot of those probes and experiments and things and interventions, things like that, what they induce is they induce something known as a window. A window is basically a period of time where all of the symptoms or some of the symptoms actually get better. So for example, in my situation with a compound known as cyproheptadine, this specific drug, when I use it acutely, if I dose 1 milligram on a Sunday night, by Thursday morning, I will begin to experience a rebound effect where all of the symptoms that I complain of, which are blunted reward and blunted pleasure and reduced sort of, as in like it corrects the delayed ejaculation, it corrects the heightened arousal that was lost. So that for me is a compound that seems to induce what's known as a window. And there are other compounds that I've used that have also induced what's known as a window, such as acetyl L-carnitine, which seems to act on that 5-HT1A receptor, which is similar to cyproheptadine. Yohimbine has induced a period of recovery as well for me and many other guys that I've worked with. Licorice root has also been beneficial as well, but that takes like 3 to 4 days to really notice an effect. But I actually want to sort of deviate and talk about some of the other compounds that are, I guess, similar to antidepressants in a way. So the first one is obviously ashwagandha. Now, the reason why I'm here today and the reason why I'm talking to you about this entire situation, this real troubling condition, is because all of my symptoms, all of them started from ashwagandha. In fact, I remember the very day that I took ashwagandha and I was in the lounge room with my brother and my dad, and about 45 minutes after I had this particular ashwagandha, I experienced just sort of like this wave of tranquility and sort of like this really strong sense of like euphoria. And I was like, what is going on? I wasn't scared. I was just like, this is clearly having a very strong effect on some aspect of my brain function. And then I remember that following night, when I went to masturbate, I noticed that the sensation was not even there. There was literally nothing there. I was like, what is happening? Like, I've never experienced this in my life. And I woke up the next morning. I'm like, oh, it'll all be fixed. It'll be fine. Next day, the exact same effect. I was like, my actual penis is, it felt different. And I'm like, this is quite shocking, and I was horrified. I was like, what's happened? And those sort of symptoms, they never really left. And here I am talking to you 4 years later, still with a degree of dysfunction. And I mean, I've improved significantly, and I've been able to highlight areas that have supported me and things that have helped me, but there is still some degree of dysfunction that sort of lingers, and it's definitely frustrating. So, and I know many of you guys listening in will also be able to relate. So what I want to do is really explore some of the links. I just want to have a discussion about PSSD, and I want to talk about more about this condition and more about some of the links. So for example, with adrenal fatigue, a lot of the symptoms that are similar to adrenal fatigue match up with those that struggle with PSSD. And that is because the glucocorticoid pathway has an intricate link with the 5-HT2A serotonin receptor and also the 5-HT1A receptor as well. So there's definitely a link between, and there's theories. I want to talk about some of these theories because there's a lot of crossover between PSSD, post-finasteride syndrome, which is that terrible hair loss medication that kills men, unfortunately. It's a drug that should not be on the market, in my opinion. And even saw palmetto. Now, I know a lot of guys have used saw palmetto for prostate health, but a lot of the symptoms that tie in with PSSD can be linked to usage of Saw Palmetto, because Saw Palmetto will be interacting with a lot of the similar receptors. And I mean, we know it's a 5-alpha reductase inhibitor, which so it inhibits DHT, but there would be other links there. We just don't know. So I want to just explore, I want to talk about some of the theories and mechanisms. So we'll start with the leading theory, which is the 5-HT1A desensitization theory, which is extremely complex, and I'm not going to try and flesh it out and explain it in layman's terms because not even I can do that. But essentially, one of the leading theories is that in PSSD, there is a subsequent desensitization of the 5-HT1A autoreceptors in the RAF nuclei part of the brain, which is responsible for... Now, when we look at 5-HT1A, the reason why it plays such a crucial role in PSSD is because the 5-HT1A receptor mediates oxytocin release. The 5-HT1A receptor also mediates cortisol release. So we've got two critical hormones that definitely play a role in pleasure, reward, and satisfaction, libido, orgasm, things like that. So we know that, for example, with ashwagandha, in my case, this 5-HT1A receptor has been desensitized, which is very similar to SSRI medications. So we know that ashwagandha repartitions the serotonin receptor away from the 1A, which we need that 1A stimulation. We need some sort of agonist or binding of that 1A receptor to trigger the oxytocin release, the dopamine release in the prefrontal cortex and other areas of the brain. So we can sort of see how this leading theory of the 5-HT1A receptor being sort of desensitized or dysfunctional in some regard, and that any sort of 5-HT1A agonist, such as LCAR, such as ginger, or even zinc as well, which is a presynaptic agonist, these compounds are known to interact with this receptor. And in my case, for example, with ginger, ginger is a partial agonist at the 1A receptor, and something like ginger will crash me for a whole week. And I know it sounds ridiculous how we have to be so orthorexic and freaking paranoid about watching out for compounds that can have a negative effect, but it's true. Like, unfortunately, with PSSD and this sort of condition, is that we are fragile and we are very sensitive. So things that bump up methylation, such as methylfolate or folic acid or SAMe or trimethylglycine or all these other compounds which I've experimented with and tried and researched, unfortunately, these all will end up somehow modulating how we feel. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful even with the sort of foods we eat. For example, spinach and potato starch. These are two things that I cannot consume because they will crash my system. Now, whether or not that's an immune-mediated effect, so either I've got a food allergy or it's affecting gut serotonin release, which is then signaling to the brain to create serotonin. I mean, there's one experiment I'd be curious to see people try out. And by the time I even talk about this right now, like before this is even live, I'm sure there'll be a post on my Instagram. If you haven't already checked out my Instagram, ergogenic_health, definitely encourage you to do so. I post a lot of useful content there. But going back to potato starch, for example, this is going to be crazy, but there's a few guys online, and I'm starting to meet more and more, where we all agree that potato starch is the biggest libido killer and makes us feel like absolute crap. And I learned this the hard way. I learned this when I was using a probiotic that actually had potato starch as a carrier, like a decent amount of potato starch as a carrier for all of these probiotics. And I remember feeling horrendous, really, really crappy when I consumed that. And so potato starch, I'm still investigating into why and how it induces that effect, but it seems to be that potato starch is acting as a histone deacetylase inhibitor, so HDAC inhibitor because of the interaction with butyrate, but also it mediating serotonin signaling in the gut. So the thing is, when we're looking at all of these probes and all of these experiments, the best thing that we can do really is like jot down and write down the theories. Like, I've got an Excel sheet where I write down and I track and I try and figure out, right, so this is one intervention. What is it doing to this receptor? What is it doing to, so the 5-HT2C receptor? Like, trying to understand the wide spectrum effects is crucial to our understanding of PSSD. So I want to talk a little bit about another few theories of PSSD. The next one is epigenetic gene silencing. So this is most closely related to fluoxetine and other nasty SSRIs. They seem to induce a state of it's working at an epigenetic level to silence particular genes that are responsible for dopamine release and even serotonin functioning. So that's a really complex area to delve into. And I'll leave that up to the epigenetic specialists out there, because I'm definitely not an expert in that field. There's also a glutamate serotonin relationship in PSSD. And that is an area that I think could play a crucial role, because we know that the glutamatergic system is closely involved in neuroplasticity and the process of long-term potentiation and even long-term depression. So we know that it can have, you know, a pathological neurochemical mechanism that can remodel and recircuit parts of the brain that are related to reward and addiction. So there's a clear association there, and this sort of explains how serotonin can modulate the glutamatergic system, and why some people get these windows of recovery when they use compounds that are actually serotonergic, such as SSRI reinstatement. The other thing is that glucocorticoids, such as cortisol, have actually been shown to rapidly induce or release glutamate in the hippocampus and prefrontal cortex. So there's a clear link between cortisol and glutamatergic activity. And we know that glutamate is the predominant excitatory neurotransmitter. And part of the issue with most PSSD sufferers is that they actually have too much GABA and insufficient glutamate. So a lot of them are actually GABA dominant. And that's why they feel blunted and suppressed and difficulty experiencing that excitatory thrill that we once had. That, you know, that we used to have that when we were 12 or, you know, 15 years old. When you're a young teenager, you had the thrill factor was there. You wake up and there's that excitatory buzz, that vibrational buzz, that thrill. You know, when you wake up in the morning and you're nervous, but you're excited about the day. That's a normal part of being human. And when you've been hammered and suppressed by SSRIs, it takes away from your ability to experience the full depth of emotions, which is crucial to being what I consider a normal human being. A normal human being should be able to experience all aspects of emotion, not just feeling happy and excited all the time, but even feeling sad, like the ability to cry. Isn't it ridiculous how now we've got people who can't even cry? That to me is like, it's concerning. It's really concerning to see that there's people out there that struggle to actually cry. Now that is just, it's sad. I know it's ironic, it's sad, but it's I think it's extremely concerning and it needs to be resolved. And that is why I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm on a quest. I'm on a mission. I'm on the hunt to find compounds, to find solutions, to find treatments to find ways of resolving this condition, because more and more people are unfortunately jumping on these antidepressants. And so I feel like it's part of my role to have the tools and techniques and figure out what's going on. If it's by myself, it's by myself. If it's with a team of other doctors and other scientists, I'm happy to jump on board. But I really just want to be a voice for this condition, because I feel extremely passionate about it, because it's significantly affected the quality of my life. And not to say that I don't have motivation. I'm still someone who wakes up with motivation every single day. I think that I've spent so long optimizing dopamine and, you know, trying to biohack my testosterone, which I did. And for those guys listening in, I did manage to get my testosterone to 988 nanograms per deciliter. And I have conducted a course to explain how I did that. So definitely check that out at ergogenic.health. There's some extremely good, even free content there. So definitely check that out. And even I've got a sleep masterclass as well that you should join and check out, because it's full of golden nuggets. And you can probably tell that I'm someone who doesn't skim the surface. I go very deep on biology and understanding the brain and how we can hack performance and things like that. So definitely check them out. And my job really is to just constantly push content that is beneficial, that will benefit, like that will change lives. That's really what my mission is and what my purpose is. And I've said that before many times. I'm sure those listening already know what my mission is. Okay, moving on. I want to discuss some of the other theories that I've written down. So different aspects of the sort of the pathophysiology related to PSSD. So the first one is the impact of cytochromes, so like specific CYP enzymes, which I think play a crucial role. For example, we know that Nigella sativa is a CYP2D6 inhibitor. And this enzyme is actually catalyzes a lot of the tyramines and even some of the other neurochemicals that appear to potentially play a role in PSSD. So that's the cytochrome action. We've got dopamine and serotonin interactions. That's probably like the most well-known. We've got epigenetic gene expression changes. So that's altering of the mRNA expression of certain neurotransmitters and hormones and things like that. We've got the proprio-melanocortin system and the melanocortin effects. So you can look up alpha MSH, which is alpha melanocyte stimulating hormone, which is produced by the sun. When the body, you know, is exposed to sunlight, it generates this MSH, and MSH is actually stimulating to sexual libido and sex drive. So I want to discuss something that I spoke about in my testosterone course that I developed, and that is in relation to erections and ejaculation. So what we know is that stimulation of the 5-HT2C receptors, that actually increases erections, but it actually inhibits ejaculation. So if we stimulate this receptor in mice, we know that it increases the number of erections, but it actually delays ejaculation. So that would be configuring the arousal aspect of sexual libido. Next up, we have the stimulation of the 5-HT1A, so the 1A receptors. These actually have the opposite effects. If you stimulate these 1A receptors, it actually facilitates ejaculation and in some cases actually inhibits erections. So if we're stimulating the 1A receptor, we're going to be increasing the arousal and the sensation, but that's going to lead to a quicker ejaculation. So that's not good for guys that struggle with premature ejaculation, whereas inhibition of this 5-HT1A receptor may actually help with delaying ejaculation. So that's probably how cyproheptadine acutely could help some people. However, there's some theories that suggest that postsynaptic 1A activation may actually cause sexual dysfunction, and that stimulation of other 5-HT2 receptors are known to interact or cause sort of sexual dysfunction. So I briefly spoke about ginger, how ginger is something that people should be avoiding if they've got some degree of serotonin dysfunction, because we know it acts as a partial agonist at the 1A receptor. But another compound that a lot of people use is berberine. And berberine has been shown to interact with this 1A receptor. And so it can significantly affect how somebody feels and may even mimic some of the effects of ashwagandha as well. Another compound that may worsen symptoms for some guys is actually ginseng. Now, ginseng may act as a mild SNRI, which is a serotonin norepinephrine reuptake inhibitor. I posted a study a while back on Reddit, on the Reddit Nootropics forum. My username is LOKZO55 for those listening in. You can even just Google LOKZO, number 55, LOKZO55. And some other probes that have been used, which I'm happy to link in the bio, just in terms of like effectiveness, and have actually helped or facilitated recovery that I've personally used. So the first one is bromantane. Now, bromantane is a synthetic adaptogen. It's what's known as an actoprotector and is actually banned by WADA because it's so effective at increasing physical performance. I'll be linking to that in the link like down below in the bio. And the next one is 9-MBC. So 9-MBC is a research chemical. It's it facilitates dopaminergic recovery. It has regenerative, restorative, and it's just generally very effective at restoring dopaminergic damage from very strong stimulants or things that have damaged the brain. So I'll be linking to 9-MBC and bromantane in down below, so you can check that out. I've got a lot of research on them. You can check that out as well. And then the other one is hypericum. So St. John's wort, and it's specifically one that is high in the hypericin, not hyperforin. So you'll see that a lot of companies are standardizing it to contain a certain amount of the hyperforin, but that's not the compound that we need to be focusing in on. In fact, it's the hypericin, because it's the hypericin that upregulates the 1A receptor and also the 2A receptor. So that's just something to keep a lookout. And for me, I've got a link to the entire thread that I created on hypericum, St. John's wort. If you search St. John's wort, anhedonia gone, emotions online on Google, my thread will come up. I've posted in a few forums and things like that to help, because that is what I'm here for. I want to help guys. I really want to give them tools and help them with their recovery, because I know how hard it is. I know how frustrating it is. And I mean, I'm able to get myself into windows, but I'm also still like, things still resort me back into that numb state. And unfortunately, it's something that I've dealt with. It's affected my dating life. It's affected my, it's made me feel stressed, and I know how frustrating it can be. And I really hope that the struggle from this condition will help to propel me and figure out a way to figure this out. And whether that's through an integration of specific nootropics, whether I discover something down the line, you know, whether I experiment with a particular experimental compound or whatever it is, like I do still always have hope. And I just want to see people collaborate, and I want to provide insights and my own findings and just contribute to this entire condition, because it's it's sad. It's really, really sad to see guys struggling. And I've worked with clients one-on-one and I've helped them out with these things. But that's not what I'm happy to, and part of me feels bad for also suffering. You know, it's like, well, how can you help someone if you're suffering? But at the same time, I'm like, but I've been able to resolve. I've been able to help other guys with other, you know, their condition's not the same as mine. Mine was oriented from ashwagandha, you know, and I can say for sure that I've been able to induce windows and powerful recovery states, but nothing is permanent, unfortunately, so far. And this may change down the line. You know, maybe next year, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, I might come across something that's an absolute game changer, and I just find something that works and sticks. So unfortunately, for now, all we can do is hypothesize and just accumulate theories and experiments and anecdotes and basically just keep on figuring it out, because it's something that is plaguing millions. And there's even people out there that they may think that they have low libido, or they may think, oh, my sex drive's not as good as it was when I was 18. But really, they've actually like messed their brain up through some sort of herb, or they've taken rhodiola for 3 months, or schizandra, or some other herb that's induced or ginkgo biloba as well. They've taken something that's mimicked the effects of SSRIs on that serotonin receptor, or they've caused some degree of dysfunction somewhere else in the brain, and now they're trying to figure out, well, what do I do? Well, a lot of the protocols will be similar to what we do with PSSD. So that pretty much wraps up today's episode. I wanted to make it specific to PSSD and help to shed more light and just be a voice on this subject matter, because there's no one in Australia talking about this properly. And I really want to put it forward. I want to be the man talking about it. I want to be pioneering it, and I want to share what I find. So, thanks for listening in. If you liked this video or podcast, please leave a review. Please share it in communities. Definitely check out my webinars that I've got on my website. You can check that out at ergogenic.health, ergogenic.health. Or you can just search my name on Google, which is Lucas, Lucas. And my surname is Owen, Oun. And you can find plenty of my resources. I've got an awesome newsletter that I share, even more golden content, which I'll link to. So, thanks for listening in. And I will definitely be doing a follow-up episode once I understand this a bit more. So, again, thank you, everyone. And I look forward to seeing you next time.
Thank you, everyone, for joining in to today's episode. For in-depth show notes and lessons learned, visit nofilter.media/boostyourbiology.
This has been a No Filter Media production.
Say what you want.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra.
and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.